Good evening, everyone. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, June 18th, 2018, More Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. Tonight's call is being recorded, so if you'd like to go to moresuccessteam.com, you'll be able to hear the playback. But tonight's call is also being hosted by $100,000 ring earner from Utah. Actually, he's from Idaho, Mr. Damian Sheber. Mr. Sheber just returned from an all-expense-paid performance club trip to Jamaica with his wife, Amber. Mr. Sheber, how was your trip, sir?
Well, I figured that, you know, most, I always talk about the trips, and they're always awesome. And but I figured it would be more beneficial for the team to hear from someone who was on their very first trip with us this time. She worked hard to get it, qualified during the sprint in Jamaica last 2 weeks of April. And so I thought we'd have Ms. Terry Green say a few words. Ms. Green, are you there? Terry Green, are you there?
Well, I don't see her.
Ah, okay. Well, the... Well, in that case, let me tell you about the trip. maybe something happened. But real quick, let me find my wife. And Amber,
yes.
Tell the folks on the More Success Team how the trip was.
Well, it was fantastic, as always. Mind-blowing. I even asked, we had somebody on our team go for the first time, and I even asked them if I had talked it up too much, and they said no. I said, mind-blowing. They said yes. So that actually made me feel better because I thought maybe I was overdoing it, but I wasn't. It was fantastic. And if you haven't been, it's worth doing anything you can to get there.
What were some of the things we did? What were some of your favorite parts?
Oh, I found out that I don't get sick snorkeling, so that was good. We went snorkeling. We had fun on a huge catamaran boat. They had music and drinks, fed us food, the whole deal. It was cool. And got to see a lot of the...
coral reef.
Thank you. I'm like totally spacing, you know. But it was a beautiful property, and they had a lot of fun things to do. They ran us out on, you know, boats, and you could take, you know, paddleboarding, and you could do snorkeling just straight from the beach. It was all part of the property that we were at. So it was really great. And seeing people. I love seeing the people. So a lot of friendships that, you know, we get to reconnect again on these trips. So it's really fantastic.
There you go. So,
and Mr. Sheever, I'm here. I used the wrong code, so you couldn't hear me.
got it. So Terry Green was on
Sorry.
Her very first trip, along with her husband, Dave. Tell us from your perspective, what was the trip like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so I'd literally never really been on a vacation, first of all, not to mention anywhere with a beach. So I was so super excited. Everything everybody says about it is just true. Like, first of all inclusive was amazing, and coming back to reality is like, oh, I have to get my own stuff and pay for stuff now. Like, oh, that was just phenomenal. And then just that it was all paid for was amazing. And I kept saying thank you. I thanked Mr. Bell, and thanked Mr. Long, and Mr. Wilkinson, John Williamson, and Steve Williamson. Sorry, I got mixed up. Yeah, just not worrying about what day it was, what time it was, no alarm clocks, hanging out with people. I got to eat dinner and hang out with Deanne and her husband, and Dave Hall and his wife, and, of course, you guys, and just telling stories I hadn't heard before, and just, yeah, having fun. It was amazing. And now I definitely don't ever want to miss again.
There you go. And, you know, that's what happened for me. My very first trip, I qualified in 2009. I joined Legal Shield at the very end of 2008. Thank you, by the way, Ms. Green. And thank you to my wife, too. I'll thank her later. But, you know, I joined at the end of 2008, so it was already too late to qualify for that trip because we only ran one trip a year back then. Now we're running four, right? Two vacations, two conventions. But qualified in 2009, so we went on our very first trip in the summer of June 2010. And that was to the Moon, not to the Moon Palace, to the Beach Palace in Cancun. And I got to tell you, for those of you that think, oh, it's just another vacation, oh, I've been to all-inclusive. See, maybe you're not like I was, because I'm like Terry. Me and Amber, Terry and Dave, never really been on vacation, right? I've been on one vacation in my married life prior to Legal Shield, and all of a sudden, I wasn't even that impressed. Like, some of you might be not impressed because you go on all-inclusive vacations all the time. I wasn't that impressed because a beach was never my thing, right? But it was like, you want to send me on vacation, send me to Yankee Stadium. I'll take that, right? You know, type of deal. But I went on that first one. I worked hard to get it for Amber because I knew she was a beach girl and she wouldn't mind getting away from the kids and things like that. So I worked hard. We got the vacation and I went and I was like, oh my gosh, I am never going to miss one of these again. And the reality is, for the most part, we haven't. So 10 trips in 10 years, I'm super excited. But here's the thing is, it's not the destination. Right, I always tell people this. It's one thing to go on vacation. It's another thing when someone else is paying for it. But it's yet another thing when someone's paying for you and 400 of your closest friends to go. So I'm hanging out with Dave and Terry. I'm hanging out with Dave and Wendy Hall. I'm hanging out with, you know, Randy Wells, who was our guest speaker last month on the call, right? I'm hanging out with Mike Humes or Darnell Self or, you know, everyone else that you can think of, right? Mm-hmm. We're hanging out with those people, and it's a different experience. And, you know, when you come back, maybe you go on vacation often, maybe you go every once in a while, whatever the deal is, you come back, you show pictures, right? And people are interested in your pictures because they're interested in you. But it's different when you're looking at the pictures after you shared the experience. And you're like, oh, you remember when we were doing that? That's different than, oh, look what we did. Like, oh, that's good for you. But they go back to their desk or they go back to their, you know, whatever. And you're still looking at the picture because you're still remembering the moment. Well, now we have that shared experience together. You know, and it's not just me and Amber, Dave and Terry. It's anyone who wants to come, right? The company, I mean, here's the reality. If you had sold 17 memberships, and, you know, that's what I did. I sold 17 memberships. I recruited 9 people. And, you know, leveled up a couple of them, got one of them to manager. But 17 memberships and 9 recruits is what got me in a 3-month period of time. I mean, I didn't break any land speed records with that. 3-month period of time. That's what got us to Jamaica. You don't want to miss the next one. So with that, Mr. Moore, is there anything else before I head into training?
No, let's get after the training.
All right. So tonight I've got Mr. Nick Fowler on the phone with me as well. He's the network vice president for the state of Oklahoma. This is a young man who is just so impressive, so impressive. Multiple streams of income, retired from corporate America. I think he turned 30 this year, okay? I think he turned 30, but he's been basically job-free. He worked part-time at State Farm for a couple of years just for benefits, really, part-time at State Farm, because you already had 3 or 4 or 5 other streams of income, even before Legal Shield, okay? And then got started with Legal Shield. Obviously, he's gone on to hit executive director. He's just done some amazing, amazing things. Got tapped to run the state of Oklahoma. And tonight, he and I are going to be talking about the business briefing. And so here's the deal. Before I turn it over to Nick, though, I want you to know that the briefing is everything. Tonight we're going to be talking about the business briefing, and the briefing is everything. I heard that all the time when I first got started with Legal Shield. The briefing is everything. And why is that? Well, it's because, number one, it's where you get a chance to learn the presentation. It's where you get to gather your team together on a weekly basis, right? It's where you discover or you find out where you should be working in your organization. Right, because you want to work with the people who are showing up. It's where you get to take stock of or measure the growth of your organization. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about something at the very end, but too many times we hear about, we think, you know, as associates that are attending, we think that it's the speaker's job to motivate us and to inspire us, at the very least to entertain us, right? That is not the purpose of the briefing. And I want you to understand, I remember you know, Jason Pollock was the regional manager in Boise when I first got started with Legal Shield, and he's an amazing individual and has made hundreds of thousands of dollars with Legal Shield. But I remember one particular time he was giving the briefing, and I was already a director. I wasn't sure if I had hit exec by then or not, but I was already a director, and so I'm taking a different kind of notes, and I'm going to come back. Someone remind me. Talk about the kind of notes you should be taking, okay? But I was taking a different kind of notes, and I'm watching him give one of the best briefings I've ever seen, and the energy was down. I mean, it was like watching him pull teeth to try and pour into us that night. And then in between that briefing and the next briefing, at our weekly training that week, we had a training about the business briefing and how it should go. And, you know, everyone in the room learned that it was our job. It's not the speaker's job to provide energy. It's our job, right? And the next week, I was giving the business briefing. And in all honesty, I did one of my worst briefings ever. I mean, it was really mediocre. And everybody signed up because the energy was through the roof, because the associates in between Jason's briefing and my briefing had learned it wasn't my job, it was theirs. Right? And because they learned that, they did everything they were supposed to do. And the next thing you know, the energy was through the roof, and I could do a mediocre job and still have 100% sign up. Right? Because everybody was feeling the energy. And the information, still the information. Right? And so because of that, we want to make sure that we're playing our parts. And so I asked Mr. Nick Fowler, because I know he runs an event out in Tulsa too. Right? And so I wanted him to go through and talk about some of the things that associates could do to make sure that we're owning the room. Right? That's the whole idea. Because I want you to understand, this isn't, it's not my business briefing just because I run it. Right? Just because it's my credit card on the line. That doesn't matter. It's not my briefing. It's the people who show up. It's your briefing. You know, I may host the event, but it's your business briefing. And there are certain things that you can do to own the room, to make it more a better environment, a more successful environment, so that when you bring guests or when you bring team, all of a sudden you can own more real estate in the room because you own the room. So, Mr. Nick Fowler, the time is yours, sir.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you perfectly now.
All right. Good deal. You know, Damien had asked me to talk about the associate's role in the briefing. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, bringing people, you know, going to the briefing, you want to bring people with you. You know, just like what Damien was talking about owning the room, you can't really own the room unless you have people there with you. You know, it's kind of like if someone's to say you're a leader, well, if you feel like you're leading someone, if you look behind you and there's nobody following you, you're really just on a walk. So, and when it comes to bringing people with you, bringing people to the briefing is for confirmation. It's not for information. You know, we should be out in the field, you know, every other day other than the briefing and sharing, you know, the Legal Shield message with them. And then those that are interested in more information or those that sign up, bring them to the briefing with you. And so, you know, running a briefing over the last few years, I've noticed a couple things. And so I'm going to kind of talk about, you know, four different parts of a briefing and some things I've seen go well and some things I've seen not go well. You know, so definitely some things that you should not do. So, you know, if you break up the briefing into four parts, you know, say part one is the pre-briefing. And that's really, like, let's say, I'm not sure what time your briefing starts, but let's say your briefing starts at 7 o'clock. The pre-briefing should really start at, like, 6:30. And then part two is the actual briefing presentation. And then part three is going to be the post-briefing, like what happens after the presentation is done. And then part four would be the event after the event. So I'm going to break these four parts down. But the first part, the pre-briefing, that's really your time to build relationships with the people that are in the room. It's not the time to talk about all the details of Legal Shield. It's not the time to do your little mini pre-presentation, because then you kind of steal all the thunder from the actual presentation. that's really just to talk to the guests, make them feel welcome. And really the best analogy I can give for that is I went to a local networking event recently that did it right. So I'm going to talk about all the things that they did right that we should be doing at a briefing. This networking event, it was called the Young Businessmen of Tulsa, and I got there about 15 minutes early. So, but here's the cool part. When I got there 15 minutes early, everyone that was a part of that group were already there. The room was packed. It was full of energy. I was greeted by someone right at the door. They shook my hand. They welcomed me, verified it was my first time. They checked me in. There was a registration process. Then they handed me over to somebody else. The person that registered me handed me over to someone else that kind of introduced me to the room. And I'll tell you that the first impression, I mean, it's just the society today. First impressions do matter. I wish they didn't, but they do. And so we have to take advantage of that. You know, that first impression makes a huge difference. And it's something I used to say all the time when I used to play a lot of soccer was, the most important part of the game is the first 5 minutes. Because if any sport you're playing, if you go out in the first 5 minutes of that game and you just dominate, I mean, you make a huge impression, you can kind of scare the other team and get them off balance. Kind of the same thing in Legal Shield. If we have an amazing first impression at our briefings, it can really kind of seal the deal. And really that pre-briefing is all about building that relationship with the person. So part two, the actual briefing presentation, just like Damian was talking about, the energy comes from the room. The energy doesn't really come from the speaker in front of the room. The speaker in front of the room is going to be feeding off the energy that the room is giving. And so you got to be engaged. You got to be leaning forward. You got to be taking notes. On taking notes, so it is 2018. Basically, almost everything in the world is digital now. And I'll be honest with you guys, I like taking notes on my phone because I don't have to carry a notepad around with me. But at the briefing, you really should be taking notes on paper, because if I was taking notes on my phone at a briefing, and I've seen other people do it too, and I've, you know, you talk to them and you say, oh, I was just taking notes, but it's really easy to misread what someone else is doing. So, like, if you're on your phone taking notes, it could look like you're on Facebook or on something else. And you don't want to make those distractions, because if one person sees someone on your phone, I mean, we're all in a horrible habit. As soon as we see a phone, we get our phone out. And you don't want to start that chain reaction. So take notes on paper. And really, if other people see you taking notes on paper, they're more apt to take notes on paper too. Now, on that topic, if you are going to be a leader, I highly recommend you have some extra notepads with you and some extra pens. That way you can give them to people that came but don't have them, especially if you invited somebody else out. But I think the biggest part is really you just got to be authentic. Those that are on this call, that have been veterans for a while, that are seasoned in Legal Shield, those that are on this call that are brand new might not see some of these same things, but, you know, it's our job. We got to set the expectation properly the first time. If you've been in the business for a while, you've probably been at a briefing before where you heard some fake clapping. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves in Legal Shield is, you know, all of a sudden we're going through the briefing presentation and you hear like a fake clap start. And then it just causes a kind of awkwardness. Then other people are like, am I supposed to clap? Am I not supposed to clap? Just be authentic. Don't try to force anything. And I think that's true about everything in this business, is really just be authentic. If we're just transparent in everything that we do, I mean, that's kind of the way everything's supposed to be anyway. So don't, be authentic. Don't fake clap. But if it's a real clap, go ahead and get into it. Another thing is don't chime in unless you're spoken to or called on. You don't want to be making like all those weird comments or, you know, work with the speaker and let them call on you. So that's the briefing. Part three we'll talk about is the post-briefing. This is what you're supposed to do after the briefing. So as soon as the president is done speaking, that is not the end of the night. The next part is sign up the people that you brought with you. or schedule the next thing that you should be doing. So, here's the thing. I see time and time and time again an associate that brought a guest with them out to the briefing. Briefing's over, and that associate is trying to close their own guest and really kind of just hounding on them. Well, the system is to use third party. So, if they're not giving immediate buying signals and you're not signing them up easily right there on the spot, introduce them to the guest speaker. Introduce them to the person that actually spoke and did the presentation. And that's what they're there for. And I'll tell you this. So this last, I've been at events before and I see the speaker just standing up at the front of the room or off to the side and no one's even coming up to talk to them. I'll tell you, that can be some of the most valuable time that you can get is your guest in front of that speaker. Another thing I see, and I've seen before, is a whole bunch of associates ganging up on a guest that was brought out. For good reasons, it's all for intentions of helping that person sign up. But, imagine if you were the guest in the room, and all of a sudden, like, seven associates come on you, and, like, they're taking turns telling you why you should sign up. It makes you want to run away. So, don't gang up. Don't have too big of a huddle around that guest because it can make them feel uncomfortable. Really, that guest really knows the person that brought them out. That's who they should be talking to. And if anybody else is talking to them, it should really be the guest speaker or maybe another leader that's on that person's team to help them out. The fourth part is the event after the event. And this is where the relationships are.
So something else that I love about this business is it's all about building relationships. And if you notice in part one of the briefing, it was all about the relationship. Part four, the event after the event, is again all about the relationship.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Yes, sir.
You sound a little far away.
That's because my Bluetooth just died. Hang on a second. All right, so I'm going to finish this out real quick. My other Bluetooth might turn on here in a second. It might not, but it's only a couple other nuggets. But hope you guys can hear me okay. I'm trying to talk really
loud.
Yeah,
keep going.
But the event after the event is where the questions are really behind – the questions are answered behind the scenes. I see a lot of people end up skipping out on the event after the event, and I see them being frustrated as to why they're not – getting their business where it needs to be, and like, well, maybe you missed out on something that happened at the event after the event. That's where the really biggest nuggets, where you can ask those questions that you can't really ask in the event situation. But here's the thing: people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. How else are you supposed to get to know somebody unless you're at the event after the event? Just to close out, one of the reasons I love this business is because it's all about building relationships, and I just get to make friends all day long. And, the briefing is everything. Just as Damian Sheever said at the very beginning, it's everything. You've got to put your heart into it. That is your business. And the last thing I'll say is that Legal Shield is kind of like a horror movie. Some of you probably heard this before, but what happens in a horror movie when someone goes off by themselves? They end up dying. We all know it. We see the horror movie. We know that they're about to die. And then, but that's the same thing with Legal Shield. If you're not plugging into the briefing on a regular basis, if you're going out on your own, it's only a matter of time before you fizzle out. So, with that being said, I hope that's what you were looking for, Mr. Sheever. I'm going to turn the call back over to you.
Awesome. Great stuff. And we can't possibly cover everything. This is really an hour-long training. And Nick did a great job fitting it into 10 minutes, okay, or 12 minutes, whatever it was. But we can go into depth, and I just want to give you two more things that I think are totally incredibly valuable. And the first is how to take notes, right? Because we all know this. At the briefing, we should be sitting up, sitting forward, on the edge of our seat type of deal, right? Taking notes. But what do you take notes on? You've seen the briefing a dozen times, 100 times. Some of us have seen it 1,000 times. What do we take notes on? You know, every once in a while it might be a catchy line. Oh, like, that's kind of cute. I might steal that line, right? Whatever the deal is, or a statistic or whatever. But the way a seasoned person, if you're a seasoned veteran in Legal Shield, the way a seasoned veteran should be taking notes is not on what the speaker is saying, but how he's saying it. Taking notes on his delivery or her delivery, right? Taking notes on how he or she is engaging with the audience. I remember watching Tony Hughes back in the day give a briefing in Las Vegas, and I was taking notes on the number of questions he asked and how he was actually recapping some of the things he had already gone through with the audience. It was, like, way eye-opening, right? Sometimes it's on the approach, like, oh, that's interesting that they did that first or did that second, you know. I remember watching Steve Hoisington give a briefing, and I thought to myself, I'm going to start counting how many times he asked for applause, because I had seen him give a briefing once or twice before. I knew he was going to ask for it, so I started just counting. How many times did he say, so let's give them a round of applause, you know? And I asked everyone in the room afterwards, because I was doing the training afterwards. I said, how many times do you think Steve Hoisington asked for applause? And, you know, it was like 6, 7. It was 21 times. He had that audience completely engaged, right, because he constantly was asking for applause. You know, let's give that a round of applause. Let's give that a round. Right? It was just totally mesmerizing to me. I was in Las Vegas a couple of months ago. Darnell Self was given the briefing, right? I counted how many times he snapped his fingers or how many times he used a certain phrase, because that's how he brought the audience back to him, right, was by snapping his fingers or clapping his hands. Right, I wish I could snap like he did. He snaps, it's like a thunderclap. Right? You know, I snap, you know, no one can hear me. But anyway, so it's all those things. It's how the speaker is engaging, not what they're saying necessarily, because what they're saying, you've heard 1,000 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. Here's the last thing I want to leave you with, and this comes from a book called The Magic of Compound Recruiting, because, you know, my mentor, Dave Hall, would say the briefing is for the guest. And he's not wrong, okay, but it's not just for the guests. In fact, it's not that it's not for the guests, it's certainly for the guests, but that's the lowest priority in my book, okay? And this comes from The Magic of Compound Recruiting, which is a book that I don't know who got me this copy, but someone copied it off of Harlan Stonecipher's desk. And then, so I've got like Harlan's notes in here too. So this is something that Harlan definitely believed in, because he's got all these things underlined in here. But it says, the dynamics of an opportunity meeting. Point number 2 is get more and more people, both old and new, to opportunity meetings. I believe that conducting opportunity meetings is an important part of your building your business. But unless you understand their purpose, you'll never use them effectively. For example, most people concentrate on getting, quote-unquote, new people to opportunity meetings and then showing the new people, quote-unquote, how they can set up their own marketing business. This will not build a great business briefing. Below are the correct opportunity meeting objectives in order of priority. Number 1, resell the dream to the existing team. Number 2, teach your team how to sell the dream. And number 3, sell the dream to the new people. As you can see, what many people think is the primary objective is actually the third objective. I see people make this mistake all the time. Someone focuses on getting high numbers of new faces at the opportunity meeting every week, and he thinks he's really building something big. Remember the warning? This may work for a while, and certainly people have tried it, but it will never build a successful opportunity meeting. Okay, so that's straight out of The Magic Compound Recruiting. And I got to tell you, the briefing is, you know, it's so funny to me. The core commitments have changed over time, the 10 core commitments. It used to be at the briefing every week, and someone came along and changed it to be at the briefing and bring guests, and attendance went down because people realized they weren't going to bring guests. They couldn't keep the commitment. I'm telling you right now, the core commitment is be at the briefing every week. I don't care if you have a guest or not. Be at the briefing every week. That is the core commitment. Because you're going to learn how to give a presentation there, right? you're going to be able to take, you're going to be able to gather your team. I tell my team all the time, sign them up out there, bring them here for training, right? That's the idea. I don't be at the briefing every single week. When you can, bring someone with you. I don't care if they're a guest. I don't care if they're a new associate. I prefer them actually to be a new associate. Like, you already signed them up out there. Bring them here. Have them meet everybody, right? So that we can put on a good face, so they can see what they're a part of, get a bigger vision than what you were able to do one-on-one, okay? But bring a guest when you can. Bring an associate. But you, just like Nick said, just like Mr. Fowler said, it's for confirmation, not for information. So they should have already seen the info, whether you sat down with them, whether you shot them a video, whatever you did. You know, they should have already seen some information. Now they're showing up. Great. But no matter what happens with them, you need to show up every week. And if we had time, I'd have Mr. Fowler tell you the story about how Hannah kicked him out of the house one time to make sure he went to the briefing. But we don't. So that's it. I apologize. I don't know if we want to go over for a question or two, but I apologize to my fellow ring owners. I keep trying to leave room for questions. But I promise you, next week, my last week, we'll definitely have time to answer any questions you've had for the whole month. And with that, Mr. Moore, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, Mr. Sheever, you've done an outstanding job so far this month. We're looking forward to you winding it all up again next Monday night. And then after that, ladies and gentlemen, during the month of July, you'll be hearing from Millionaire Club member, $200,000 income earner, Mr. Jeff Hughes, and the legacy he's built for his family. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, Damon, thank you so much. You did an outstanding job, as usual. Looking forward to hearing you again. Close out the month next Monday night, and we're going to leave it at this. Just like Mr. Ken Moore always used to say, let's keep God first, our family second, then Legal Shield, and I guarantee you everything is going to come out just fine. Until next week, everyone, talk to you then. Good night.